Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Sunday show with on Here Be Monsters Radio with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. And we are a political progressive roundtable for the most part. Unless we get a nice caller in her who wants to talk it over. I did put our number up, gentlemen, this week so people can call in. I'd just love to talk about this. I guess the big deal is impeachment.
Yeah, I would say that's got to be the topic today. And the thing is for our listeners, if you go back to the previous podcast, I know that we've made, especially me, have made statements that back when Trump first got elected, that all three of our intelligent agencies all admitted that they had recordings of listening to Trump. Actually, they were listening to foreign agents, and then all of a sudden Trump calls in soliciting seditious acts against our democracy. That was over 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So what we're listening to today is nothing more than he just repeated, a criminal goes back to his old crimes. He didn't get caught. He got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's won another election. He just went to his old playbook. Only this time there was somebody who had a conscience in our intelligence community, took it through the proper procedures of sending it to the intelligence inspector before releasing the complaint, the whistleblowing complaint.
Mm-hmm.
He reviewed all the evidence and then said, yes, this is all viable. The president of the United States is committing treason. We have to pass it on to Congress. Let's start there.
And Trump tries to throw up a smoke screen and try and blame the Democrats for this impeachment talk and all that stuff. You know, this guy, he's very blind. He's not very shrewd. He's very blind, or he's an absolute idiot, or both, you know. So I just don't get – he's always got an angle, and it's always crooked. So he's
– Does anybody remember what John Mitchell said when Woodstein called him up at night to confirm evidence at, 10 o'clock at night he was in bed asleep? And they put it to him about the funds out of the campaign to reelect, and he said, "Who told you this?" Well, that puts our tit in a ringer. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what happened to John Mitchell after he said that?
Yeah.
He went to jail.
Yeah. And the same thing with Giuliani. Giuliani is so Freudianly exposing himself. But even Trump said, "Hey, I'm president, so I can't go to jail for my crimes."
Yeah, that's insane.
There's Freudian self-admittance that, yes, I'm committing crimes, but because I'm president, I can't go to jail. He is admitting it right there.
Giuliani has been disgusting since the W administration. He's been absolutely disgusting, completely partisan. That guy is so snide, and he's a terrible man. He's awful.
Well, yeah, but he's also a goddamn fool, and he looks like a clown.
Oh, he's an idiot.
I don't see how Republicans can actually
stand around. Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, who can stomach Republicans anymore? I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what it is? It's a crony of New York Republicans. It's Trump and Giuliani are both New Yorkers, and they see things the same way. They're both wrong. They're both disgusting people, and there you go.
Mitch McConnell's from Kentucky. Where's Grassley?
Yeah, he's terrible,
from?
Too.
Where's Lindsey?
Lindsey Graham's from South Carolina.
Yeah,
he's awful,
I
too.
Mean,
The whole party's full of shit.
They're they're all incredibly awful people. But you know, I will say this. I said, well, when Nancy Pelosi came on air last week, it looked like a State of the Union address.
Yeah.
And she said, basically said, now I got you. I got you now, legally.
Yep.
And because of what he's done with this, it opens indictments not just on him, but on Barr, Pence, Pompeo, and two others. And that means if they race this through, and now, you know, after this came out, when this was released, McConnell put the bill before the Senate for the campaign financing for protection for the election.
Yep.
And he said those who want the bill, yay, and all the Democrats, yay, and those who don't want it, nay, and there was, you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was 100%.
Yeah. You know, it's incredible the way Trump's support among Republicans has been pretty rock solid up until now. There have been major defections lately. Longtime Republican strategist Michael Murphy is one. Another one was Rick, whatever his name is. He's a bald-headed fellow, has glasses. I saw him on TV. He had a hilarious quote yesterday. I just about fell off my chair laughing. He said, Republicans are getting nervous, he said. And he said, they may talk one game, but what they're really very fearful. And he says, you know, as a matter of fact, he said, if I took a piece of coal and stuck it between the butt cheeks of these Republicans, it'd soon come out a diamond. I laughed so damn hard. And it's true. They're all talking a big game, but they're all, you know, shitting in their pants, you know?
Yeah, they're scared. They know they're done now.
Yeah.
And it's like rats leaving a sinking ship.
Sinking ship, yep.
They're all going out. But it's incredible because the stories just keep breaking.
One after another.
Now we find out, but you're right, Wayne, when we were talking before, the whistleblower is CIA. But I'm going to tell you what, my assumption is this, and it's because I listened to my Uncle Alex for years. I think those Treasury boys have been listening to a lot for the last 3 years, and somebody said, this is crossing the line. If you don't think that White House has its own, let's say, observational equipment that presidents and chief of staffs and all that know nothing about, you got to be nuts. Because there's a basement to the CIA.
Yeah. And, they're now saying that there's evidence on that secret server. Well, basically, it's the modern day Nixon tapes. Okay, we don't have a tape recorder anymore in that Oval Office. But we have that secret server that is capturing every bit coming in and out of that White House.
I'm here to tell you there's more than that. There's more than that. It's my assumption, but I'll bet you anything there is. And it's those Treasury boys. That's what I call the Secret Service, the Treasury boys.
Sure.
I think they had enough. I think they absolutely have had enough, and I think they were the ones who said you really need to listen in.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point you brought up, Gwen, and I'm glad you said that. Yes, the Secret Service, I know that here this past weekend, last few days, well, ever since the General Assembly at the UN in New York, a lot of them had to travel back down from New York because they have to keep everything secure and protected up there. You know, on the lookout of any kind of aspects that could be harm to the president. All came back to D.C., but a lot of them had to hang around because when they all traveled down to D.C., there was some leaders of a couple foreign countries, and we can pretty well interject here, especially the big one, who came down. and the Secret Service had to keep things secure in D.C. and review and look at everything. And then they had to stay an extra night because the leaders of that foreign country decided to stay an extra night. Basically, those whom Trump has committed treason with are circling the wagons trying to keep their asset
mm-hmm.
from being expunged.
Well,
how's that, folks?
I think what's going to happen here is that the Democrats are ready to move very quickly, and they're pushing the court. And the judges that aren't tainted are going to push these things through. And
absolutely.
These subpoenas are going to get recognized. And if they aren't, marshals are going to take over. We're talking about the very real possibility of seeing people handcuffed and out of the White House, not the president, but people who are not responding.
Yeah,
I can hardly wait.
Right. Yeah, those who Trump has said, no, don't go testify before Congress, stay here. Well, that's easy enough for him to say. It's not his ass that's going to become arrested, handcuffed, and escorted out.
Like,
and while they're
that
happens,
they
gotta grab
those
Lindsey
people are
going to
talk like canaries you wouldn't believe.
They ought to grab Lindsey Graham while they're at it.
Like Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
He told them.
Yeah, Michael Cohen.
He told them in his testimony, you watch your asses because this is what he's going to do you.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly how he's going to do you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bully.
Yeah, he's
he's a paper leader. I mean, he's nothing but stuff.
Yeah.
And third grade educated commentary
mm-hmm.
to the press. And I think it would be a hell of a thing, and I have said so on social media, tweeting and on Instagram, that, you know, to people like Joy Reid and Stephanie
Stephanie Ruhle.
And
yeah.
Maddow doesn't anyways, but I've been you know, and Ari Belcher, who I like a lot, saying, you know, listen, just don't interview these people. Don't let your core of reporters show up anymore. Just ignore the son of a bitch and let him go off on Fox, because now the Murdoch family is looking at their bank account
right now.
Right.
And
right.
that's more important to the Murdoch
right.
family
oh, yeah.
than anything else. And I guess today and yesterday it's coming down that there's all kinds of hell breaking loose in the studios over at Fox.
Oh yeah, they're all infighting each other.
And the fact that they don't know what's going to happen to them next either. People like Hannity and that Jeanine Shapiro. That woman is just, what a puke.
Tucker Carlson's a little piece
and
of
Coulter,
shit too.
And Coulter, you talking about?
No,
yeah,
I'm
she's
talking
been a
about that. Who pays attention to her anyways? And she's not on that often, as far as I know. But that Jeanine Shapiro, that lawyer with that voice of hers, that bitch that is
mm-hmm.
always, you know, God, just love to see her put into a basement someplace. You know, I mean.
And Tucker Carlson had the audacity to claim that Adam Schiff is mentally unbalanced. Where the hell does he get this insane stuff?
Well, no.
Of course, there's never any truth coming out of Fox.
They're
lucid.
That's the thing that's going on, though. The Murdochs are taking a look at the way things are turning at Fox and the way that they are throwing, you know, nothing but match heads on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make some changes. You know, Shepard Smith, he's going to end up being on at 9 o'clock. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, we had to replace the last guy. Sorry about that. Here's news. You know, it's like because they've lost a lot of their advertising dollars.
They lose it all. That Hannity's a piece of shit too.
They've lost a lot of their advertising dollars. They're losing they've lost all credibility as far mm-hmm. as news goes, except for one or two of their commentators.
Yeah.
And anybody who's been bunched up with this Republican rolling clown show
mm-hmm.
since Sarah Palin stepped into town.
Oh my God! Yeah.
They're on the slide now. They're on the
yeah.
slide.
Well, let's look at it globally, too, because the Murdoch broadcasting empire was in New Zealand and Australia.
They were shut down.
They have
down.
Laws against propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were shut
and
down after that shooting in New Zealand.
There you go. Right.
Because
they were labeled nothing more as propaganda. They
yeah.
are not news. They've shut them down. They've
Good.
Also... Fox News / Murdoch have not applied for the renewal of their license in England because England says, if you want to keep broadcasting here, you got to tell the truth. We do not broadcast propaganda in France. Remember when they said, oh, there's no-go zones of Muslims in Paris and stuff, and everybody's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
They were fined for emitting out that propaganda. That was untrue, and in France they have laws, and they were fined for that.
It's called Sky News.
Yeah.
Sky News.
Thank you.
And plus,
thank you.
Murdoch is getting quite older now, and he won't be around forever, thank God. That biggest liar and scoundrel in journalism history. It's not even journalism, it's propaganda, you're right. But he won't be around much longer, and his kids are going to take over, and they're kind of... They seem to be a lot more mellow than
incendiary is. No, that's the whole thing that is going on. It's not the old man anymore. It's not Rupert Murdoch. It's,
the kids are continuing the banner. The kids are carrying the baton.
Well, his sons don't care for this conspiracy news deal that's going on because they see the loss of their revenue from it.
Right.
So
right.
that's why the change is going on, and
long overdue.
Yeah, it is long overdue. But this morning, guys like George Stephanopoulos and that blowhole Chuck Todd, I mean, they put these guys like Giuliani on the air from CNN.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're just throwing match heads on the fire here.
Yep.
Plus the fact that I am no Joe Biden fan. To me, he's a corporate bagman from Delaware and always has been. But the thing is that he is a Democratic nominee or primary runner for the nominee. And this kind of behavior and outward lying and attempt at criminalizing him and his family is, to give fame those flames more by putting guys like Giuliani on air, especially on Sunday morning shows.
Plus, it's all baseless. It's absolutely without fact whatsoever. It's all made up bullshit. And it's just an attempt to smear the leading Democratic candidate. That's all it is.
Well, the whistleblower is going to be testifying before Congress probably this coming week.
I can't wait. That'll be great.
Schiff said today that he would be testifying very soon, and it's not like very soon in 3 or 4 months either. They want this done before the holidays. The other thing is that Pelosi's strategy. Well, I don't think she could have. She couldn't have known about this ahead of time, but she has been looking for this linchpin in order to enable the rest of her chairs on her
committees
to be able to move forward towards indictment. And it looks like her strategy is the one that paid off because now his tits in the ringer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, I know she got a lot of guff for not acting sooner, but you know what? Patience was prudent, and I think it paid off.
Good way to put it, Wayne, no doubt.
Yeah.
Good way to put it.
The other thing that happened this past week was, though, this extraordinary, and I guess we talked about it last week, too, but the extraordinary speech that was made at the UN by Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah. Great, yes. Great young lady. Yep.
And she went up to Canada and she told Trudeau, you know, you're not doing enough. She just does not hold back on these people, and she's very direct. And then she went, I have a video on my page of her with the indigenous people up there, the nations up there, and then the women. And, you know, the chief comes over, the elder comes over and says, you know, this young warrior is a waterkeeper, a Mother Earth preserver. The children, these are the children of the Rainbow Tribe, which you guys might not know about, but I do, and I've known since Black Elk.
Well, go ahead. We got time. Go ahead and elaborate. I mean, I'm interested to hear what this is not just,
you know, you gentlemen would call what we're having a morality issue, the moral fabric of our country, but it's a spiritual one, too. Because your morals are your spiritual quality.
I like that, and I agree.
There's no way of getting around that. I mean, Jack went over and said, how'd you do this morning to keep his spirit in check, didn't you, Jack?
Sure.
I mean, you care about things, and you do not hold this corporeal life as all there is to who you are. And
we're far too materialistic a country, and Western society is far too materialistic. We've got to get down to basic good values again, and that means common courtesy. It means charity that isn't abused. It means caring for other people and relating to them and telling the truth to them.
Community. Number one, like the little girl said, the house is on fire. This is our Mother Earth. This is our home. We don't think like our ancestors did. You know, our ancestors knew that their world was an expanding universe. They knew that they lived in a country under a river of stars, the Milky Way, in that galaxy.
Right.
They knew that their neighborhood had planets that revolved around the life giver, the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And their home was called Mother Earth.
Right.
And that's what we have to remember. That is what most of the people in my community have been talking about for 30 years. And this little gal comes out, this little Valkyrie, she comes out and took a boat. She took a boat all across the ocean to do this, solar powered. And I just think she's fabulous, but it tells you something. It's those Parkland kids that have gone across this nation and registered 12 million new voters. 12 million, gentlemen. 12
That's
million
incredible.
New voters.
That's determination and that's stick-to-itiveness, and that is so needed right now.
It's
I was going to say, those 12 million need to come out and vote if we're going to stop the corruption because, you know, there's still that variable of Russians being to happen to, not the voting machines that you're sitting there putting your little finger punch, but when all those little microcomputers are all feeding into the mainframe, that's where the Russians are going into and flipping the votes there.
Right, yeah.
These people have to come out and vote. We have to vote in such overwhelming numbers that Russia's hacking of our computer, democratic elected computer registering
system has
to be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of good people out there working to make sure. Look what Tracy, what's her name, in Georgia is doing to make sure that doesn't happen again. The one who just lost the governorship Ms. Abrams.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people like that. And I'm going to tell you what, the majority of these Democratic candidates, once the primary is over, I think all of them are going to stand up and support and work towards getting this done. I don't think they're going to be done once the primary election is over. It's just We're losing our republic, yeah, but we're also losing our planet. And
right.
it's
yeah.
real clear right now. And I can't tell you. Yesterday, I don't know if you watched, Jack, the Global Citizen concert.
No, I missed that.
Listen, the end act.
I know they had a lot of good names on there.
Oh, my God, yeah. My sister was real upset. She missed Carole King, one of her faves. But,
oh, yeah.
I was going to say Carole King's very good.
The
she's written so many songs, yeah.
The show closed with Queen and Adam Lambert.
Yeah, wow. That's,
the kids.
You know, I was astounded to learn that he had joined Queen.
Well,
yeah.
And they superimposed Freddie on the big Tron. I mean, it was like heaven was singing last night. And these kids, these teenagers, knew all the lyrics that I've sung for over half my life.
I know.
Like, it was so uplifting.
They love classic rock. They really do.
Yeah.
A lot of the younger people do.
Yeah. Yeah. My nephew is a big Hendrix fan and a big.
I love it.
Yeah, a big Hendrix fan and a big Led Zeppelin fan. You can't pull him away from his light. I adore Zeppelin.
Yeah.
But, you know, these, and have you noticed a lot of the new shows and movies are using our era of rock?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, and NCIS, you know, they start off with the Who's. Who are you? I mean, that damn song is 55 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but seeing Queen last night, and I kept saying, you know, they got to encore. They got to come back. They got to do it. They got, you know. My favorite, my sister wanted to hear Bohemian Rhapsody, but I'm like, we are the champions. You got to do it. You got, and they did.
They did, yeah.
And it was fabulous. It was so uplifting. And there were 60,000 people in Central Park. Can you imagine?
Incredible.
Walking by on 38th and walking by and hearing Queen. I mean,
it would have been
coming
nice to have
the
apartment doors or the apartment windows open.
Oh, those people, of course, that's the most expensive real estate in town.
Oh, yeah.
But those people were getting a show.
They were getting a show
yesterday. It was incredible. But Queen and Adam Lambert, he's terrific. He is
incredible.
Just
fantastic.
Well, he was one of the American Idol winners early on.
Yeah, well, he actually didn't win. He ran her.
I was
going to
say, Jack, he didn't win. But
oh, he didn't?
He
I thought
he nailed it.
No, but he's been the most successful. He runnered up, but his runner up, his
Mad World was a great tune.
Oh yeah, he did that. Absolutely stunning. But his big song was, and that's they pulled Queen out of mothballs to back him with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my sister,
I didn't know that. I didn't see that.
That's where they got the idea of, hey, let's team up with this guy. This thing's working.
Yeah, he brought him out of retirement.
You know, how do you replace Freddie Mercury? I think we've done it.
Pretty cool.
And then to see Freddie on the Jumbotron. You know, that was.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Freddie Mercury succumbed to AIDS years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he died of AIDS.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and even his band members didn't know until a couple of months before he crossed, and he finished his last project.
He was a big force in music for a long time, and Queen was a really big force, too, before they kind of went more poppy, you know, with We Are the Champions and all that stuff. Prior to that, they were really, really a good progressive kind of band.
They were innovative. When they did Live Aid.
I love We Are the Champions and Bohemian. But they did. They sung beautiful music. Jack's right. They sung beautiful music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I don't know if you ever. Did you ever see the. It was out recently. My wife and I went and saw it. It was the movie about a Queen. and Freddie Mercury called Bohemian Rhapsody. Is that what it's called?
It's on
HBO. Yeah, I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
I haven't seen it yet.
When they're doing the final scene of them performing at Live Aid, and there's all this sea of people out there, and Queen gets on stage, and Freddie Mercury just started off with, and the crowd answers back. He had them in the palm of his hand. And you said, sitting in the audience, there was cold chills that just went down your spine. I leaned over to my wife and I said, and for those listening, I am also a professional musician who performs at festivals. I said, that's exactly how I feel when I'm performing on stage and the crowd is into it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I said, I can't explain it to you other than you have this feeling, right?
There's a feeling. That's right.
That's being tight. I, as someone who stood by and managed, that's being tight. But that was on the Jumbotron. That's how they started out the last two songs with him doing that, that scene from Live Aid on the Jumbotron behind the band last night. And then tears are coming down my face.
Glenn, I'm sitting in the movie theater, and I'm swelling up in pride. I'm so much emotion. I got tears coming out of my eyes right there in the movie theater during that scene in the movie. Yes, I was a big wussy, okay?
All of these little teens in that crowd last night are up there in awe of Freddie and Adam. You know, it's like in Queens. And they're singing every word, and it's like, whoa.
Good stuff.
Oh, they're very passionate fans, and they're really very up on it. They know it. They know it through and through. That's great.
We did too, didn't we?
Yeah, it's something we have to share with them, and that's wonderful.
It really is.
Well, you know, I always said, good music is good music, and will stand the test of time. That's
and you know
perfect
what?
Example
it goes beyond
everything
just
I've always
genre.
Said.
There's good music in every genre.
Absolutely.
And, every era,
absolutely.
You know, produces good music.
It's true.
You say Gershwin's real Bohemian Rhapsody. That is so iconic and classic. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the piano's going, dum, bum, 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 right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just stunning. But it tells you that there's a shift in the country, too. There has been a shift in the country in the last age. Have you noticed that those in favor of impeachment now in the general population is much higher than those who are not?
Yeah.
They got like 3 points in 2 days, and it's still getting a point a day.
And it makes you wonder what took them so damn long, you know?
Well, Jack, we're all old enough to remember when it came out about Watergate and Nixon. He was reelected because there was those that, that's just, you know, my president's not a crook, right, and stuff. And I vote conservative. You know, it's that kind of mentality.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then when it finally did come out that he was dirty up to his elbows, that he was even demanding more criminal acts to protect those that did the break-in, of G. Gordon Liddy and things like that. Then that's when people sat up and said, well, I'll be damned.
I'll never forget the sad looks on some of those Republican congressmen of the mid-70s or early 70s when all the stuff against Nixon came out in the hearings and all that, and they were just sitting there, and they looked so morose, and they had to vote against him, you know, and it was just killing them.
It's when the tapes came out, and they played the tapes.
I just didn't share their
view. And you knew the evidence that he had, in his own words, being recorded in the Oval Office. It was the tapes. The tapes made sure there was no denying it.
Oh, and then that Rosemary Woods making that insane, way goofy-looking gesture to erase the tape and, showing how she did it. How utterly ridiculous. You'd have to roll somersaults to get the machine to do that, and she practically did that. That was insane. But that's typical of the Nixon lies, and it's typical of what we're going to see from Trump. He's a liar, too.
Absolutely. It's look, as Professor Ron, who we've had on several times, a great guest, love him personally, you know, and he'll tell you and everybody else will say, history repeats itself for those who don't learn history.
Right.
Well,
it is.
Well, you know, basically there was McCarthy, and he got in front of cameras and showed his ass. I mean, I have to expect Maddow to close out each night lately with good night and good luck, you know?
Yeah.
Then we had Sam Ervin, and we sat
listening to him.
And now we're going to have people like Schiff, Cummings, and Pelosi questioning these guys in front of everybody.
I can't wait.
The shift is coming. I'll do a Phil Collins on you. I can feel it coming in the air.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I naively thought in my younger days that once we'd done away with Nixon and that hideous era, I thought we're finally going to learn our lesson as a nation. But you know what? We didn't. We elected that goddamn Trump, and that guy's an absolute scoundrel. He makes Nixon look like a choir boy.
I've heard that so many times in the last week that it's not even funny. And I'm like, you know what? They were both crooks. And you can say Nixon was a statesman, and Nixon had at least enough respect for the office of the president.
Well, Nixon had some knowledge. He knew what the hell was going on. Trump knows nothing. He's an ignorant fool.
Right. And plus, too, I will say this in behalf of Nixon versus Trump. And the lowest point in all the desperated moves that Nixon did, he never once committed treason against his own country.
Right.
Trump cannot make that claim. As a matter of fact, that's what this whole thing's about.
Absolutely.
Before he came into office, he was committing treason against his own country.
Yep.
When he got in there, then it was untethered treason against this country.
It was all based on greed. And, you know, I've long suspected, and I think my suspicions are proving very true, the only reason he courted Putin the way he has and been so friendly with Russia, he wants to build a big hotel chain in Moscow, and so far he hasn't been able to do it. And he just wants to kiss ass any way he can to get in there and get his hotel chain built.
Jack. I got to tell you, man, most of the business community has known that all of his real estate bungling for the last, like, 30-something years, he's been laundering Russian oligarch
money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Through his real estate business for 30-something years.
Yeah.
That's how he stayed.
Well, that's why he doesn't want to show his tax returns. That would all be exposed.
There we go.
The proof is there in his tax returns.
Yeah, well, it's going to come out
eventually. His banking records.
Yeah, it's basically that's the truth. That's what's
going
on.
It's
going to
come out eventually. There'll be some whistleblower in the IRS that'll leak his tax return, and I can't wait for that day. It might be once he's out of office, but it's going to come out. He can't keep it quiet forever.
Well, the Congress has subpoenaed his tax.
I'm going to say, and the judges have ruled. The Congress subpoenaed months ago. For the bank records of Deutsche Bank.
Right.
And Trump was, with his lawyering up and stuff, stonewalled it. But now a judge has ruled that the banks can turn over the banking records of Trump to Congress.
Yeah,
that has just, that came out this week. That ruling has just made this week.
Well,
so we're getting there, folks.
It's going to ruin Deutsche Bank in the Western economy. Exactly.
Matter of fact, Germany, talking about the economy, is on a teetering edge because they were mainly an exporting manufacturing company.
Right.
And with Brexit and stuff like this, and of course the coming of age of China's economic powerhouse, Germany is suffering.
Parliament demanded yesterday that clown they've got as prime minister apologize to Her Majesty the Queen.
Boris Badenov?
Yeah, he pulled something, and I'm not quite sure, but I've seen my English cousins here on Facebook talking about, is he nuts?
Well,
the
English Supreme Court voted unanimously that it was illegal for him to shut down Parliament the way he did.
That was an illegal move that he did. That,
and
in fact, right there, was enough.
He will never be reelected.
That's impeachable to him.
He will never be reelected. He'll be thrown out of office soon.
the end, he was made. He's being made to apologize to Her Majesty for it.
Yeah, he lied to her about it too. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's basically what you got here is patriarchy on parade, the exposure of what unchecked greed and avarice and isolationism and war has done to our societies, our communities, and our planet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the children are saying, fuck you to the older generation of patriarchs running the world. It's time for nothing.
I agree.
I applaud them for that.
When I use the word patriarchy, I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about greedy people, men and women. There's plenty of women patriarchs in this planet.
Right.
Financial bullies. Economic bullies. Yep.
There's always hierarchy to society and communities because there needs to be. We do require leadership just as a community of people. But here's the thing, unless, of course, you're a libertarian, but the whole thing is about pulling, pull the guy off the good wood. It's time to get out of that, out of the sky. We need to be taking care of our planet, and the rollbacks that have executive ordered by Trump with the EPA and with this and with that, we need someone in there as quick as we can get to tear those things up and to start replacing these acting agency heads, The other person that's going to get indicted on this whole trip too is Barr. I hope
he deserves to be. What a scoundrel!
Well,
remember Dean? Wasn't Dean the lawyer for Nixon?
Yeah, that's right.
And he was
John
the one
Dean.
That said, "Oh yeah, well, you know, there is tapes of this." Wasn't it Dean that exposed that?
Yeah, it was.
Well, Dean was kind of a whistleblower. He wasn't a real. He
yeah,
said no.
Right. Well, because he wasn't going to get his ass raped.
Right.
Well, he had a sense of conscience too. He was an honorable man. He started out working for Richard Nixon's White House, but he soon saw it was a cancer. It was a bad situation, and he responded accordingly. He was a real patriot.
Yeah. He was. It's like Ellsberg.
Oh, and he spent a lifetime of being called Weasel, a Stoogie, and all kinds of
damn
names.
Yeah, they called him all kinds.
G. Gordon Liddy.
Right.
Yep.
I would mention, G. Gordon Liddy can't even
Another
get a freaking radio show. I would mention here and now, too, that there's a hero that has gone unsung and been denigrated, too, by the Democratic Party getting along with their status quo crap. And that is Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden, patriot. He was a patriot.
They vilified him so badly, Democrats and Republicans.
Right, I agree.
Yeah.
But as far as Julian Assange goes, you can roast him over whoever's pit is going. I couldn't care less. The guy sold out, and his people working for him knew he would sooner or later because it was all about him. He's very much very narcissistic, and he was, he did a good thing, but it wasn't for anybody but himself. He is pretty bad.
Well, that's the we generation speaking, and I like to see that resurgence because we've been living under this me generation crap ever since the days of Ronald Reagan, and I believed it was a mistake then. It's still a mistake. It always will be a mistake. It's a we world, not a me world.
You've hit the nail on the head, Jack. I think you've actually.
You've got to look out for people around you. You've got to look out for your community. You've got to look out for your city, your nation, your state, you name it. People got to cooperate with each other to get jobs done. They can't stand on a pedestal all by themselves and beat their breasts and go, oh, me first. That just doesn't cut it.
I understand.
Let me interject
this morning that
we used to have. Go ahead, McGren, you go.
I understand Robert De Niro was on live television this morning to give his 2 cents. I think it probably is heavily bleeped by now, but God, if anybody hates Trump, it's Robert De Niro.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, Rob Reiner and trying to think of that other actor.
Yeah.
There's other actors that are prominent actors that are coming out and spoken out quite often.
Most of Hollywood is against Trump because he's such a criminal bastard, you know, self-centered.
Right, but he managed to pick up $17 million in Hollywood in California.
Yeah, well, there are some real right-wing people out there, too.
Yeah, there are, but
a
lot of paranoid.
They have money. The trouble is that they have money. That's what's wrong with the right wing in California. They are not the majority at all.
No, not even close. Sheldon Adelson and people like that, they're absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are getting hit by the Me Too movement or something sooner or later. So
they'll eventually be uprooted.
But it's just incredible. Did you all notice the change in the polls this week?
Impeachment or what? Obvious.
That's climbing slowly into. It's already over.
It's over, well over half.
But there was a change in the Democratic primary polls this week.
Elizabeth Warren shot right up there.
And I am wholeheartedly in favor of that. I mean, like I said, Joe Biden, he's from the Delmarva Peninsula, where I basically spent my rest of my teenage years and raised my daughters on. He was up there in the Wilmington area. And you're right, he was a corporate banking mouthpiece because a lot of companies incorporated in Wilmington, Delaware because of the tax.
Yeah.
But both he and Bernie Sanders are too old. They're too old for the, presidency.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what. Elizabeth Warren runs up on stage every time. Runs up on that stage. She's got more energy. And she's doing this at a very, very grassroots level that even Bernie didn't achieve because she is shaking hands with everybody. She stands for
taking pictures with anybody and everybody. That's right.
Yeah, to take pictures of selfies.
She's doing retail politics excellently.
She is, and she does have a plan for this and that.
Yes.
And she does explain how she can get what she can get done without having a majority in the Senate and what she can't get done. And she's also touting, it's like this week, she said, I absolutely will not back, Collins. I will be backing whoever the Democratic candidate is.
Right.
She really put a sucker punch on her. She climbed to 25. Joe went down to 22. And here's something else that's going on that people, the metrics of these polls are crazy, too. And it can change at any time. Whoa.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything.
Static on the line.
That's when you said something, it was a feedback. But here's the thing. They say, Joe Biden has the elder and community of black and black women voters. I dispute that about black women voters. And you're hearing more and more all these young black African-American people, kids, from anywhere from their voting age into their 20s, college kids that are going home to their families and saying, are you crazy? This is why I am voting for this candidate, not Joe Biden.
Right.
So he's losing ground there. And you just don't know who's going to come up. People have, look what Barack did. He came from way behind Hillary and peddled out. But what it's looking like right now is Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada, all three are leaning towards liking Warren the best.
I like that a lot. Good. That's a healthy development.
Same here.
She will be our first woman president. And she's well qualified, and it's very deserving of that title.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I think so. The only thing that really kind of makes me shudder is the fact that the best pick I think she could make for a vice president would be Mayor Pete, but a woman and a gay man on the ticket, I think they're all going to say, oh, are you sure?
That might be too much.
Yeah, Jack said it.
That might be too much for the electorate. I hate to say it, but I think it's true. And, you know, for a long time, I thought it would be very interesting to have an all-female candidate or all-female ticket of her as president and Kamala Harris as vice president, but that won't happen either.
Yeah. Well, they don't walk in the same stride. They just don't.
Right.
They can work together and they like each other, but they
don't
walk in the same stride.
Well, they're different candidates. They have different ideas and stuff, and that's a big
party. It does not mean that she wouldn't be sitting in a cabinet position, though.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
There you go.
We could do very well with a cabinet of that nature. We would do very well.
Yes.
Well, that's why
along with my engineering degrees, I also have a lot of business and marketing. And the marketing aspect is what I'm going to be referring to now is Elizabeth Warren looking to be the leader, and if it looks like she's going to be the nomination, there is going to be a big nationwide marketing survey of who do you like, this one or this one better, this one or this one better. It
mm-hmm.
might be a Hispanic male that will be the vice president to Elizabeth Warren. I'm just using that as a speculation because they will be doing marketing studies to put together the best team that they can.
Oh, the Democrats use marketing research very strongly, and they always have, and it's
exactly.
good for them to do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so,
Republicans.
I mean, they wanted to grab all that evangelical vote under Daddy Bush, and that's how we ended up with, you know, Potato Man Halfwit. What was his name? It's on the tip of my tongue. The vice president under Daddy Bush. I keep wanting to say Dan Quayle. I knew it was right.
What an absolute idiot that guy was.
He was, right? He professed to be a Christian and a good
Murphy
the
Brown.
Woman from Alaska, right? She was a good Christian.
Sarah Palin,
came him up with John McCain, right?
Yeah.
Try to grab that evangelical vote and make sure they secure that. That's the reason why there's vice president. They're going to be finding somebody that's going to our largest now demographic population of a minority is the Hispanic.
Yeah.
And you have Sanchez or Quiñones or something like that as the vice president with Elizabeth Warren. That's going to be the winning ticket. Off-the-cuff marketing aspect.
As far as marketing goes, what inspires? Well, I'll tell you who isn't inspiring the majority of people who are going to run to vote, women included, is Castro. He blew it. He really blew it with Biden that way. He showed.
Yeah,
that wasn't
a good move.
Talk about a make or break moment. That one broke
him.
Basically. You never
but
know.
But I think it would be a wise move for the Democratic nominee, Warren or whoever else, to grab a Hispanic person to run with them. I think that's a very wise move.
Well, they're all going to
Well, personally, I want
it needs to be a
personally, I
want
Carlos Santana, but it's not going to fly either.
But that's one of the best concerts I ever went to.
Yeah.
Santana was one of the best concerts I ever went to.
Oh, they're great. They were always good. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're
fabulous. But I don't know that they're all going to say person of color, but I think that we're going to be surprised in a lot of different ways with what's going on with the Democratic primary. I'm already phone banking for Warren.
Yep.
I'm fully behind her. Also still really love Mayor Pete, and Beto has found his ground.
Yeah.
And Cory Booker even has surprised me with his
I like
conviction.
Cory Booker to a certain extent. Yeah, I just don't think he's strong enough to be the nominee. And I think the polls show, so far have shown it. And Beto is shown a little resurgence, but I'm not – I like him a lot as a person. And
that's what
he
I
reminds
mean,
me
yeah.
so much of RFK, but he's not the same. He's not the same guy. He would be helpful in grabbing Texas, but outside of that, I don't really see him on the ticket.
Yeah,
right.
And he told Joy Reid this morning, you know, I absolutely am not running for Senate. I'm staying on my path to the presidency, and, you know, which is, that's good. That's him. There's something about Kamala Harris lately and the way she's handling her commentary and stuff. It's all good, but there's something in it that's bothering me, and I don't know what it quite is. I don't know if it's her needing to her feeling like she needs to make points or what it is, but I like her.
I like her a lot.
I just don't know what it is I'm feeling off of that one. And nobody ever speaks about Marianne Williamson making it towards a VP spot either.
Well, no, she hasn't. She's failed to make a dent really nationally with voters. A certain amount of people are really, you know, pleased with her and all that
her.
Stuff. And
I
understand why. She's a brilliant lady, but I don't think she's got the wherewithal.
I think she would make an incredible cabinet seat. And
there you go. Cabinet.
A cabinet seat that was made just for
her.
As
would Kamala Harris. Yep.
Yeah, and Kamala Harris would, too. That I could see. Because these are people who can get things done and will work honestly with people.
Right.
As far as I can see it, I don't trust Cory Booker that far though. I mean, you know, it's hard to forget he took a lot of projects from the Kushners. So you know, it's like, dude, you know.
Yuck.
He didn't know. He didn't know. He really didn't know. He was
now he knows.
Now he knows because he's fighting him back. So, Jack, why don't you tell people where they can find you and your great Saturday afternoon post?
You can find it at www.jodell53.com. And my current post, which is set to expire tomorrow, is I'm praising a guy named Anthony Melchiori, who is the host of Hotel Impossible, and how if he were to run in politics, he's a no-nonsense, cut-to-the-point kind of guy. He doesn't bullshit around. He gets right to the point, and he drives it right home. He would be an excellent political candidate. So that's my latest take on that fellow. But that's my latest post.
Great.
Very good.
Great.
And for me, Minds and Times, plural, Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. That's where you'll find some of my true life experiences. Of everyone is the sum of their own life's experiences, and I've kind of put them on that site there, and basically is what built my perspective and views that you're hearing on this radio show every week.
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne. And the show is sponsored by DaughtersOfISIS.com. That's DaughtersOfISIS.com. The Fragrant Memories of Our Ancestors. This is aromacology and flower essence formulas that express the tradition of our ancestors. So please take a look. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be back with Manny Jalonski next Sunday. And I guess that's
keep
it.
Keep pushing forward, everybody. Just keep pushing forward.
Always a good show. Tell your friends.
Yep. Keep pushing forward.
Thank you, Jack. Have a
thank
really
you, Gwen.
Day.
Thank
stay
you,
sweet.
Wayne. Talk to you next week.
Good night.